Hello, everybody. Welcome to my African Moves podcast, your host, Ken and Mercy. Today, we have a special guest, Hadija Jabir, founder of Jibri Eat Fresh Tanzania. It's a company based in Iringa, which they deal with fresh vegetables and export to the Europe market. This woman, she is a humble, strong, and resilient lady. She started Hustle when she was 12, and she has a very, very great story behind her journey. This podcast, Understanding the Entrepreneur Journey from the Story Behind the Story. We welcome you. In Swahili, we say karibu.
Yeah, so we have a very special guest, Ms. Hadija. I don't want to butcher your last name, but I've done a lot of research on you. I mean, you have a very interesting story that our listeners will love to hear. Can you kind of just tell us, you know, a little about your company before we get into your personal story?
Okay, thank you so much. First of all, it's really a great honor to be invited to speak in this great platform. My name is Hadija, as you introduced me, and I am a farmer. That's the best way I can introduce myself. I founded Jibri, a horticultural company, which is based in Iringa. Iringa is southern part of Tanzania, and we are into growing, processing, packaging and exporting vegetables to European countries. So that's what my company does. Okay. We are a team of 32 people. The company started 4 years back. This is our fourth year in business. The journey has been beautiful, I can call it, with lots of challenges in it, but we are grateful that today we are here.
Awesome.
Yeah. Before we go any further, you know, I was reading your story and it's very inspiring. And I always think, just being an entrepreneur myself, it always starts as a child. And reading your story, I noticed that you started in high school. Can you kind of take us back to your days in high school, selling things to kind of make you, you know, pay your way through university and things like that? Can you kind of tell us that story, then lead up into how you started your company?
Okay, so for me, I can say business is something I always thought that I'll be doing later in life, because I started my first business when I was 12 years old. Okay. And I remember when I went to secondary school, I took part of the school fee, which I got from my parents, and used it for business. My mom thought I was already having my periods, so whenever I went to school, she used to give me sanitary pads, and that was my business. I bought more sanitary pads, combining with what she gave me, and I used to sell it. I periods very later, I think when I was in high school. But from when I was 12 years old, when I went to secondary school, she started giving me those pads, and I used to sell them. So the reason why I wanted to go into business is because we were living in an environment. My father is a government servant. He's working for the government. But we're living in an environment where I could see lives of business people. And I somehow wanted to live their life, because whenever I asked my parents for money, the response was, I don't have money. Wait until the end of the month. Looking at the lifestyle of these people who were in business, I knew that I want to be one of them one day. So after secondary school, I was still buying things and selling things here and there, just making a living. But also I wanted luxurious lifestyle. I remember buying my own phone those days back. It was Motorola L7, which was the most expensive phone. Oh, okay. When I was going,
yes. Hello, Moto.
Yeah, and the feeling was really nice, having what you want and being able to buy it with the money you made yourself. For me, it was, I wanted more of it. I wanted more of that feeling. But also, I think there are some of the people who goes into business because of responsibilities. I'm one of them. I wanted my siblings to have better life. The life I was seeing other people living, which my parents could not afford. So I wanted them to go to the best schools. I wanted them to have the best education, believing that it will help them later in life. Coming to university, that's where the story of Gibri, the company I'm working with now, started by that time.
Okay, let me interject real quick before you go into that. Is it true you only went to school to take your exams? So I read you only went to school to take your exams the only time you went to school. Sorry. Is that true?
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Yes, I was reading about your story that only time you went to school was to take the exams. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. And the reason why I used to do that is because I think I had limited time. Most of my time I used it to do business.
Oh.
So I could only go to school when there is a call that there is a get back to university. And it was the same even when I was in high school. So I used to go to school when we had exams. But I'm grateful that I passed all the exams.
Right. Wow.
You're smart.
Yeah, you're smart.
And then the funny story, you have just reminded me of the funny story. When I was in high school, we did a mock exam and there was one division zero, and the news spread all in the entire school that this zero is must be Hadija because she's the one who is not around here most of the time. Unfortunately, I got division one. So,
whoa, that's awesome!
That is.
Like,
nice,
that's really good. That is so awesome. All right.
Okay, so officially Gibri started when I was in first year university. I wanted to be like Aliko Dangote, and I researched a lot about him, knowing that he's the richest man in the country. I was inspired to go into, no, not in the country, in Africa, in the entire continent, sorry.
Right,
I wanted to go into manufacturing. And that's the reason why I registered the business name, Gibri Business Solutions. Mm. And I remember looking back, I even copied his logo. I was having the same logo as Dangote. Oh, wow. I've changed it now. But I was so much into do what others are doing. Fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
look at someone who inspires you and do what they are doing and eventually become one of them. So for me, Aliko Dangote was my inspiration.
Is he still your inspiration now?
He is. Of course, not only him, but everyone
now
who is doing
more.
Well. Now I have many people who are inspiring me. But I'm still inspired by what he's doing. Yeah.
Okay. Khadija, let me ask you this. So why farming? I mean, you have an accounting background. How did someone that doesn't have family members in farming get into farming?
So I never thought that a day will come and I'll be a farmer. So now I call myself a farmer. And the reason why I never thought of doing it as a business is because in Tanzania, more than 80% of farmers are small scale holder farmers. And these are people living in rural areas. Mm-hmm. These are the people walking with bare feet. I mean, there is nothing fancy with their lifestyles. And a young person will think of a white collar job. You won't think of going to the village and start farming. So the same case was with me. I never thought that a day will come and I will go to the farm. It's only after university. I remember one day I was watching TV and we had this program. It was called Amka Badilika. It's a Swahili word. And they used to showcase stories of horticultural farmers. Most of them were using greenhouses and somehow they were saying there is very minimal risk when you use greenhouses. You can make a lot of money. Of course, productivity level is quite high compared to open field farming. And somehow I was interested with it. I started researching about it, visited people who were doing the same. And I am here today. Right. And now for me, I think I've learned to love what I am doing. I didn't love it at first, but eventually looking at the people we are impacting with what we are doing, but also knowing there is a huge potential in agriculture, especially in African continent, I had no option than loving what you're doing.
So I had one curious question. Me knowing you as a, like, I know you personally because we do a lot of projects together in like training women in entrepreneurship and stuff. I'm always fascinated by how you have done so much more than just agriculture. You have been into wood business. You've been into wood business. You have like gazillion ideas of things you can do and still stick to horticulture. So tell me a little bit more of what did you find out that is a key stick out on the wood business?
Wood business, I think I went into wood for, the reason was just to make more money.
Okay.
So are you selling like actual wood or is it going into like making a product?
I went into wood business. I came to Iringa. As I said, I used to live in Mwanza. Then with the farming ideas in my mind, I had to come to Iringa. And when I came here, having no enough capital to start farming business, okay, many people think farming is cheap. You can just have 1 acre and go cultivate your crops. But for me, I wanted to do it in a different way. From the beginning, I wanted to export. I wanted to sell my vegetables to other continents. And that required a huge investment. So when I came to Iringa, the thinking was, what is it that I can do to make money so that I can invest it into agriculture? And that's where the story of wood came from.
Okay.
And I am still doing it up to this moment, though it's not my core business. Mercy, we met during our project. I am doing a lot of other projects, and the reason is, okay, with Ghibli, we have never had a loan from anywhere. So for me, I thought instead of looking for a loan, while I know I cannot meet the conditions required by banks, and instead of using that as an excuse, I can still do other businesses and raise money and invest it in my core business. So that's why I am into wood and other many projects.
So to sum it up, for someone who is an entrepreneur who wants to start in and they're stuck and thinking, I need capital. Literally, you're saying you have to find ways to raise capital in your own way and start by working on something while you're raising capital for your other business. So it's okay to have this business that raise capital for this business, right?
For me, I think there are so many other ways to get capital. If they're starting capital, okay, you can go to a bank looking for money to expand your business, but most of the time we think we need a lot to start a business. While the truth is, you need very little to start your journey. And for me, okay, up to this moment, I think we've been able to raise the recent funding we got from the Netherlands government was 2.6 million euros. Mercy, you know that. But we got it just because of the people we know and the people we have been working with. So you just need to start. And later on, remember, if you do your work so well, the world is watching and opportunities will just unfold themselves on your way to your destination.
That's like, we're going to put that as a quote.
Right.
You do right, the world is watching.
So Hadija, with your story, you have a very interesting story. So can you take us back to 2014? Something life-changing happened for you in 2014. You know, I know what happened, but I want you to share that, your pivotal point. Because I think people see the finished product of entrepreneur, but they don't know the complete journey. Can you kind of share what happened to you in 2014?
Yeah, looking back at 2014, I remember I was at this point where I just needed faith, believing that tomorrow will be better than today. I came to Iringa, I had nothing, I knew no one. I wanted to go into agriculture, looking at the people around doing the same thing. No one was doing what I wanted to do at that time. I had no resources at all, but I needed faith. I needed to believe in myself, to believe in what I wanted to do. and giving it my all. Every single day I could go to the farm. I remember I didn't travel 2014 up to 2015, 2016, 100% I gave it to the farm. I learned everything about the business. At least at this moment, okay, we have employed other people who are helping me with the production, with the pack house and everything else. But I gave myself time to learn about it. And I was 100% committed to what I wanted to do because I had no farming background. I didn't study agriculture. I never went to a farm before that time. So for me to succeed in it, I had to do all that I was required to do. And I remember after 2016, something which I think maybe it has made me get where we are today is I wrote a list of all the people who I thought they could help me. Okay. I went to guys, commercial city here, and I met with a lady called Jennifer. I asked her, if I want to be successful, what do you think I should do? And she said, just get around successful people and people who can help you in what you're doing. And the next thing I remember is I wrote a list, and it included the Minister of Agriculture, the Deputy Minister of Agriculture. And from 2016, I focused on building network with the right people who could help me expand my business. So there is one question I always get, like, why do you get this much support from stakeholders, from the government? It's because I had to learn how to connect to these people and use them for my advantage. And I am grateful that up to this moment, where we are, I can't say it's because I am brave and smart and everything. It's just because of the people around us, people who are supporting us in every move we are making.
Wow.
Awesome.
So I know, you know, you've had several businesses before this. So my question to you, what kept you going? Because I know, like myself, I had some failed business that didn't work out. And I know you had the same, like, I know your onion farm you had. What kept you going? Because I know that's discouraging a lot of times. You start a business, it doesn't work out as we plan. But what kept you motivated to keep going on your journey to get to today?
Yeah, I cannot say that I am this energetic every single day. There are moments when I feel like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Why am I even doing this? Sometimes back I used to get job offers. People would want you to go and run their businesses. But when I started, this business was me having a good life. But it got to a point where you look at all the people who are looking at you, the people who are doing things after seeing you doing what you're doing. And now the motivation is not your own life. Now the motivation is, I need to keep on doing this, not only for my Tanzanian brothers and sisters. I get messages and phone calls from people from different countries in Africa, and they're all inspired with what you're doing. So you do it for your fellow brothers and sisters everywhere. But also, when I want to quit what I am doing, I know I usually go to the pack house, where at one point we can have 50 to 100 women sorting and packing the vegetables. And I look at them and say, if I make this decision to stop this today, where are they going to get school fee for their kids? How are they going to survive? So that keeps me moving. Even on moments when I say, oh, today I don't want to go to work, but I have to push myself and go do it. Even when I face challenges, I say, okay, let me just do it for everybody else who is looking at Hadija as their source of inspiration. But they are doing what we are, I mean, coming to work at Jibri is their source of income. So that's the reason why I keep on doing what we are doing every single day.
That is very true. My understanding of an entrepreneur journey, like when there are days where you meet people that tell you, they look up to you and you're confused. You're looking at yourself, you're like, why are you looking up to me? What is there to look to me? And you don't see, you kind of forget to count the journey and like appreciate how far you've come. And then you have people who are really like looking up to you, and then you realize, really giving up is not even an option, because you will crush so many people's dreams. And you meet people who say they started their business because you did it. And therefore they are still going on and they're looking at you as you're still going on. So this is a really good, honest truth about the entrepreneur journey.
Right.
And it's rightfully so, as entrepreneur, to be open and honest about the journey, not to give people imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality comes, it starts causing like depression and all these things. So, Ken, do you have another question?
Yeah, so how do we get more young people into agriculture? Because we interviewed a couple of people that kind of dibble and dabble in agriculture. And the first thing they said, you know, it has the stigma of being an old person's occupation. So how do we make agriculture more attractive to the youth, in your opinion?
Okay, so I think we are in this time where we are very connected. Mm-hmm. And with these technologies everywhere, it's it's very difficult to convince a young person to go to a village, like what I said. My thinking from the beginning was, I can't go to a village and use a hand hoe. So it's something which needs cooperation between the government. We also need the private sector. Everyone needs to look at it in a different way. It started with mindset change, but also the government has to create enabling environment for young people to look at it as a business. Mindset change is because we still don't look at it as a business. We think it's something which is done by old people, but also we don't see many opportunities on the agriculture value chain. While in this journey of 4 years, I think it's one of the industry which is very profitable. And now with food insecurities in the entire world, Africa is the answer to this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So young people need to change their mindset and look at agriculture in a different way.
Absolutely. I have another question. I read that every year you pick 12 people to learn about and follow. How long have you been doing that?
So every year from January, I choose 12 CEOs. I follow one of them the entire month. So if they have any publication, if they have YouTube videos, I extract as much as I can from their journey, and listening to them, their journey, what they are doing, their leadership styles, helps me to grow faster than how I can do it by my own. That's what I am doing. Every single month, I choose one person and I follow that person. Like this month, even today, I was listening to Kuti Mahanyele. She's a South African woman. She has done a lot in her journey. She used to be a CEO of Shanduka Group.
Okay.
Yeah, so I now follow her, read about her. If they have written a book, I find that book and read about their story and everything about them.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome. So I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
How does being a woman entrepreneur and having a family life impacted your individual Hadija life in general?
Oh man, it's hard. It's very hard because you find yourself wearing many hats at the same time. Mm-hmm. You are a mom, your kids do not understand that you have responsibilities as a company leader. They want to see you home every single day. When you travel, it does not please them.
Mm-hmm.
You are a wife to a husband, and this person, I always call them kids. Many are like kids, I'm sorry to say that, because most of them expect you to do a lot more to them than what they are doing to you. So especially in our African ways of doing things, you have to fulfill your wifey responsibilities. Someone would expect you to go home and cook and wash and do everything. At the same time, you're looking at your company, now you have other people following you, you have employees there, you have things you need to accomplish. And when you are in a leadership role, it involves lots of traveling. So most of the time, you're required to travel, and looking at your family, it it becomes very, very hard. So being a mom, being a wife, being a business person, there is, for me, I think there is no such a thing as balancing, because if you want to excel in something, then you need to give it your all. So for example, if I want to do so well in business, my commitment goes to business, the same to your family. So I'm trying as much as I can to give them time, but also I give time to the business.
Okay. All right. That is awesome. What would be to, we'd like you to answer this question with a statement, my African move is. So what will be your inspiring last words with a statement, my African move is?
My African move is, sorry, like I can say anything?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. How are you?
Yeah, so I think my African move is do what you love.
And love what you do. You
need to do what you love. If you do something you do not love, at a certain point you will get tired and you will quit.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Hadija from Iringa.
Yeah, thank
we
you.
Can't wait to visit you. We're coming to your farm.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait.
Bye.